This morning, I know this scripture at first glance is may not seem like a Christmas scripture. It's one that's familiar to everybody. It's probably one of the best known passages in Scripture. You probably don't even need to open your Bible to know what it says. But our scripture this morning is coming from John chapter 3, verse 16. And you remember this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, say it with me. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a beautiful passage. And there's a lot of directions we could go with this. But I want to focus on just a couple of things this morning. And I will ask one thing from you and those of you there that are listening in. Don't think I've heard this verse, I've read this verse, I've been around it all my life and just tuned things out, because I really believe God's got a message for all of us with this morning. I don't know about you, but at this time of year, I always have the same problem. What do I get Ginger? What do I get my wife for Christmas? And guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, getting your wife a brand new rod and reel or a power tool is probably not the way to go. Don't get her a vacuum cleaner. Don't get her a brand new set of pots and pans. Don't get a brand new stove installed in your house and say, honey, got it. No sewing machines. Now, the one gift that the Bible says, and I'm reminded of, that your wife will appreciate, and wives, your husbands will appreciate this too. You can even turn it around. But the Bible says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's no greater love than the love Christ has for his church. And husbands, when we mimic that love to our wives, that true and unconditional love is appreciated. Now, in Ginger's defense, most of the time, I look at her and I say, honey, what would you like for Christmas? And she will say, oh, I don't need anything. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. Sometimes we don't physically give a lot that we unwrap, but we do things together, and we like doing things like that. Now, when Spencer was growing up, and I got to confess even now, there was no problem with that. He was more than willing to tell you what he wants. He still is. Matter of fact, when he was growing up, we would go to the stores and, you know, he would walk through the aisles and point and say, this is what I want. I mean, there was no doubt. And matter of fact, it seemed like he had an endless list of what he wanted that Christmas. Well, you know what? God ended up giving us something. Something that we really didn't even ask for. But he knew we needed. And today I want to look at not only what God gave us, but what we can give him in return. Scripture that we read, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What greater gift could God have ever given us than his one and only Son? He loved us so much that he allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born here on this earth. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. God didn't allow his son to be born in the lap of luxury and luxurious surroundings, to parents that were wealthy. He came and told a young virgin girl by the name of Mary that she would bear the Savior of the world. Christ was born of an humble woman in humble surroundings. That's what God did. Jesus also gave us the greatest gift that a person could ever receive. John 15, verses 13 and 14 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Jesus was also in love with us so much that he was willing to suffer and lay down his own life for us. Parents, grandparents, this is probably easy to understand. Which one of you as parents wouldn't give our life to save the life of one of our children? I'm on the floor yesterday and Landon didn't feel good and he was asleep and I'm on the floor and Maverick, the infant Maverick, is so happy. He's just looking at me smiling and just screaming. And Colson is not going to be outdone. So Colson crawls over, walks over where I'm at, and he falls on me. And I got Maverick screaming in one ear and Colson on top of me laughing, and I'm in heaven. If either one of those were threatened, I'd do everything I could to keep them from harm, even if it meant my life. And I mean that sincerely. Landon, too. And my son. There are some times I could stop a mud hole in Spencer. But he's my son. He's my son. And if it came down to one of us has to die, I would willingly take that place. I bet you would too, for your child. But you know what? You may not take the place for my child, nor I for yours. But Jesus did. That is true, unconditional love. Especially when Jesus knew how much he was going to have to suffer on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. But Jesus also knew that he would be raised the third day. Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus said, "This is the commandment I have received from my Father." But he loved us enough to go through that suffering. Let's not forget that this Jesus suffering on the cross is the same baby whose arrival we are celebrating at this time of year. Think about what Jesus suffered because of us. Yeah, it was my sin, your sin, that caused the nails to be driven through his hand. First one hand, then the other. You ever hit your hand with, or you ever hit your thumb with a hammer when you were working? Yeah, you're nodding. Hurts like the mischief, doesn't it? I've never had a nail driven through my hands. I cannot imagine the pain I cannot imagine the pain. We used to do a song years ago that the only thing in heaven that's made by man will be the scars in the hands of Jesus. Because he told Thomas, put your hands in them. Nails driven through his hands. And remember, this was after he had been flogged and beaten within an inch of his life. His back opened up and bleeding. His head hurting and bleeding from the crown of thorns that was pressed down. Having to carry his cross down the Via Dolorosa, the long distance up Golgotha's hill. I can't imagine how much pain he had to be in. After they drove nails through those hands, now they went to the feet, put one over the top of another and drove nails through both of them. Can you imagine? If that wasn't bad enough, there had been a hole in the ground hewn out in the rock, so when they put the cross in there, it would stand upright. So they lifted the cross upright and put the base of it in that hole, and as they pushed forward, that cross fell to the bottom of that hole with a jolt. This baby was on that cross. Can you get that picture? This baby was on that cross. Hands and feet nailed to that wood. His back opened up, his head bleeding, and as that cross hit that base with a jolt, can you imagine the pain that racked through his body? I can't. It's almost incomprehensible. I was watching yesterday. Landon, as I mentioned, didn't feel good. And when Landon doesn't feel good, I know he loves his daddy. He loves me. He loves Ginger. He loves his brothers. But when he's sick, guess where he goes? He walked over and just put his arms up. Ginger looked at him and said, get away. I don't want to be around. No, she didn't. She picked that baby up and she put that baby in her arms and she cradled him. And I was looking at her yesterday. She had Landon, I had either Maverick or Colson in my arms. And I looked at Landon and I knew he was hurting. But he found comfort in the arms of Gigi. Oh, I would reach over and grab him and touch him and all, and he would smile, but he would politely take my hand and move it away. Very politely. He wasn't ugly about it. It got me thinking about this sermon this morning. As Jesus, this baby, was hurting, was suffering, don't you think he longed to be in the arms of his heavenly Father? Just like we do. The Bible says that we are adopted, as we mentioned. We are adopted into the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's what Landon was doing yesterday. He was going, Gigi, hold me. Hold me. Make it all better. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross, just longing for the touch of his Father, which never came? There is no way that I would be able to endure such pain. But Christ loves us so much that he endured all of it, all of this willingly. While he was on that cross, Jesus looked down at the very ones that put him there and he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. I dare to say if that had been you or me, there would be no way we would have been able to forgive the people that were crucifying us. And as even as I say that, I think about the chain that I wear around my neck with a cross that has one of my favorite verses on it, Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That includes forgiving people that don't love me. Jesus forgave the loved ones that nailed him to the cross, and he asked the Father to forgive them. I had a friend of mine one time. We were talking about another mutual friend, and the one I was talking to, he said, I've forgiven him, and I finally have told him just no more. I said, I can't do that. He said, well, he's done the same thing to you. I said, yeah, he has. I said, but here's the deal. I said, Jesus was on the cross, and he forgave his crucifiers by saying, Father, they don't know what they're doing. I said, that's the bar. And I don't hit it a lot of times, I'll tell you. I don't. But that's the bar. If Jesus could look down and forgive the ones that put those nails through his hands and his feet and the crown on his head and flogged his back, if he can forgive them, then why can't we forgive? Jesus even went so far in Matthew to tell us, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm just a Johnston County country boy, but that's pretty plain English to me, isn't it to you? But the greatest gift that Christ gave us was when he took on our sins, yours and mine. The Bible says that about the ninth hour on the cross, Jesus suffered the greatest pain that he had up to this point. Christ took my sins and your sins and the sins of the world upon himself, past, present, and future, with God being a perfectly righteous God. He could not look on the sin that his son was taking on. Yes, that's why he was sent. Yes, that was his mission. Yes, that was intended all along. But God is perfect. God is holy. He could not look on that sin, and so he turned away. Let me give you an example of this. I'm going to use Will and Mary Lee as an example. They got two beautiful children, Skylar and Layton. Here's what Jesus experienced. Here's both of those children reaching up to you, going, Mama, Daddy, hold me. And it is you turning your back, walking away. Would you do that? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Ginger has laughed at me when Colson comes running over a landing and they jump up in my lap. Ginger will laugh and she'll start laughing. She'll say, you pushed him out of your recliner, didn't you? No, I show them all the love I can. They want that. I have noticed here of late that Colson, and I apologize if examples of my grandchildren get boring to you, but to me, I just see God in it. Here of late, when Colson falls, when he thinks he gets hurt, you ever had noticed children sometimes they're not hurt, but they think they're hurt? They're just scared for that little moment. He runs to me. A couple weeks ago, he was over at the house, and he got ready to sit down. He was going to sit down on his toy box, and it turned over, and he kind of hit with his bottom on the ground. Never cried. But I could see that look on his face. And the first person he looked at was me. And he ran over with his arms out. And I picked him up, and he put his head on my shoulder. And within 2 minutes, guess what? He's right, and I got no use anymore. And he's right back down with his toys. He just needed that little bit of comfort. He needed that little bit of assurance that everything's going to be okay. How do you think Jesus felt dying on that cross when he's looking, he's going, Abba, Father, hold me. Why have you forsaken me? I'm sure Jesus was in torture on that cross. But you know what the Bible really doesn't talk about, and what we don't think about a lot of times, is how hard was it for God to turn his back on his only begotten Son? Do you think God himself heard the words of his Son going, why have you forsaken me? Even though he knew why. He heard those words. But he endured all of this out of love. Praise God in his word. He promises us as his children, we will never be alone. He promises to be with us to the ends of the world. As his children, we are never forsaken. And you know why? Because Jesus knows what that feels like. I've often thought, when Jesus has said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I believe Jesus said those words because he knows what it feels like, and he doesn't want us to ever feel that way. I may be wrong, but that's what I choose to believe. As he was dying on that cross, a lot of things were happening. Later, knowing that all was now complete, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. The Bible says when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That Greek word for it is finished is teleo. Teleo. It means, it's an accounting term meaning paid in full. When Jesus said, it is finished, he took my list of sins, your list of sins, and he stamped paid in full across the front. All of that up to this point would have been meaningless had Christ not risen from the tomb on the third day. But he now sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us against our accuser, the devil. But there's one more gift that God gave us. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to lead us in all things. We've got a lot to be thankful for this Christmas. Matter of fact, every Christmas. We can rejoice because of what we've seen even in our own church. Mr. Larry come walking in this morning. What a blessing. Layton crying out in this service. Man, what a blessing. Can't wait till Amber gets here with hers. I pray God will send more children in here. How successful has everything we put our hands to this year been? God has just blessed us. What about people coming and accepting Christ and the baptisms that we've had and the baptisms that are to come? Folks, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Just what's happened this year. But think about what happened that first Christmas. Think about how much God loved us and what he gave us. He gave us, our scripture says, his only Son. He gave us his unconditional love. He gave us a sacrifice for our sins. He gave us his suffering so that we don't have to. He gave us his forgiveness, of which we're so undeserving. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. All of these elements were wrapped up in that baby in swaddling clothes that was laid in a manger that first Christmas morning. He was a baby born to die for all of us. Now, it's customary to give a gift in return to someone who gives us one. But this is God. What do you give somebody that's got everything? God gave his greatest gift to us, his son. So what do we give God in return? Everything in the world already belongs to God. He created everything. So what does he expect in return for his gift? It brought to my attention last year about this time. Elliot told me, he said, the thing that Jesus wants the most this Christmas is our heart. That's a child. That's a child. And you know what? We make things so complicated. Don't we? He just went right to the heart of the matter. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. And he believes it. And we should too. If you're already saved, then the gift that God expects from you and from me is to obey his commandments and his teaching. God must come first in our lives. And we must love him more than anything else in our lives, more than our spouse, more than our children. We have to love, the scripture says, our neighbors. And our neighbors are everybody in the world. Not like my mama told me one time. She said, everybody from Glen Laurel to Highway 70. That's our neighbors. I've never forgotten that. She tried to make it simple. But mom was wrong. We need to be the light of the world and the salt of the world. When people see us, they should be able to see the light of Christ in us. To be the salt of the earth is to uplift all that is good in the world and to be against all that is sin. That's where we as Christians fall short many times. We're afraid to speak out against anything that is sin because of fear that it might offend someone or be politically incorrect, but we have to put God first in our lives. And the hardest of all is we need to be willing to follow the will that God has for our lives. Do you know God's got a will and a purpose for every baby that is conceived? I can't wait to see what God does in Skylar's life, in Layton's, in Amber's, in these kids that are back here. You know, I even got a taste of that this year when I had a chance to baptize Cole. You know, Cole was a baby that I had dedicated over a decade ago. And now to get a chance to baptize him, I'm going to tell you something, man, that's some good stuff. That is seeing God's purpose for those, that person lived out. Lived out. God has a will and a purpose for everyone. But he created us with a free will. And we have the choice of whether or not we'll follow his will or not. I can tell you that if you follow God's calling for you, life will never be dull. And you'll experience a peace that you have never experienced before. Think about it today. What is God calling you to do? Teach Sunday school, tell a neighbor about Christ, feed the hungry, give to the poor, enter the mission fields or something else. Are you ready to commit to it today? Just the other night, Spencer asked me on the phone. He asked me, he said, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I said, son, I don't need anything. But when he was a little boy, with no money, he would come to me and say, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? In other words, Dad, What are you going to buy for yourself this year? I would look at him and I would tell him this, son, I want you to love me and obey me. I want you to listen to me. That's what God wants from his children too. So this Christmas, let's make that commitment to our Heavenly Father that we'll love him more than anything in the world and obey his commands. There's a short prayer up here on the screen. And I'm going to move this way just so I can read it. It says, Dear God of Christmas, thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. I'd like to give you a gift too. I give you my faith. I believe your saving words and works are true. I trust what you are doing in my life. Amen. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then the gift that God wants from you is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Admit that you're a sinner. Tell God that you're sorry for those sins, and with his help, you'll turn away from those sins. Admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he lives today and sits at the right hand of the Father, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. If you mean that, whether you're here, whether you're listening remotely, Christ can change your life. Come to this altar this morning and let's pray together, because I would love to rejoice with you in receiving this gift from God this Christmas season. If you really mean it with all of your heart, you'll have eternal life in heaven. But my Bible tells me that those that do not accept this baby, this Messiah, and his gift of salvation will not have a home in heaven. If you're not sure, whether you're here or listening in, that if you were to die today, if you're not sure that you would spend eternity in heaven, then you need to come to Christ today. Sometimes we think that's hard. But Elliot reminded us, it's so easy. Hey, bring him your heart. Bring him your heart. If you do that, I can assure you that you will have the best Christmas ever. Because giving your heart to Christ and accepting his gift of salvation will change your life. Your wonderful gift is waiting for all of you here today. All you have to do is come and get it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the best gift ever, the gift of your Son, his sacrifice, his forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, and everything that goes along with it that is wrapped up in this baby whose birth we celebrate. Father, we are so undeserving, but so grateful. At this time of commitment, Father, we pray that you would touch hearts and that you would literally change lives today. Father, we give you this time and look forward to what you're going to do. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen.